computer. Oh, you must have sent to the club. I think
I did. I did send it to the cloud, but you're recording because it says recording in the top.
Okay. Yes. So welcome, you guys.
Hi. So welcome back.
This is the all new Big Girl Pants podcast, Zoom style.
Zoom style. Not forever.
But just for now. Do we not love the fact that we can have
Anna
with us from Iowa? Where are you in Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you were still there. So from Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love it too.
Opening all new doors for us. Not just local talent. Now we're branching out to Iowa. So Jana and I, for everybody out there, just to give you a little history, we knew each other in high school. Honestly, haven't spoken or seen each other in a good 25 plus years, probably 30, really, if you think about when I left Marshalltown. I know that kind of ages us.
I was going to say, you're giving it away.
Yeah, but now they're going to want to know all the beauty secrets. So it's going to work out just fine.
Oh, there you go. It works.
Yeah. So, but we reconnected on Facebook recently, actually. I want to say within the last 6 months. And I can't remember what that was. Was it over your newsletter? Or you had
probably
things about, and I had just moved into this. Kind of eliminating toxic things from my life. I had a hysterectomy last September, and that sort of pushed me into paying attention to the chemicals and the things that I was putting in my body.
Paying more attention. Don't fault yourself because you definitely are more aware than the common person when it comes to the things that you put on your body, the things you put in your body, all of that.
That's true. I've always been a little bit conscious of that.
That's great.
But I switched, you know, then from like the kind of I don't use candles ever anymore. Now it's just essential oils and things like that. We'll talk
good
about
for you.
Though. I want to get into that because I'm really struggling on that front. I don't like it at all. But like, I really
I'm like,
and Tide is so bad for you.
Oh, gotcha.
So we'll, I kind of want to talk about that at some point. But anyway, so we reconnected through, I believe I found her because of her newsletter. And do you have a blog as well?
Nope. I just mainly talk clean beauty and non-toxic and reducing your toxic load on Facebook. And then I have a newsletter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's how we reconnected. Pretty sure. So I'd like to turn it over to you now, if you're okay, just sharing a little bit about your story.
Sure.
What got you into all of this clean living stuff?
Sure. You know, I think kind of like you, I had a health crisis. When I was 36 years old, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And that was kind of a huge wake up call, I think. You know, you suddenly, when you're faced with your own mortality, you start to question all these decisions you've made and what led to this point. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 36. I thought, I'm going to do the genetic test. My mom didn't have breast cancer, but for some reason I thought, surely there's a genetic link here. There has to be a reason, right? Something happened with my body to do this. And did the genetic testing and found out there's no genetic link. So there's absolutely no reason other than environmental factors.
I was going to say, so that in turn means that it was something external that you were either ingesting or putting topically, right?
Yep. Exposed to, you know, maybe it was a high volume of stress. I worked a job that was like 60 hours a week, and perhaps all that stress broke down my immune system. Perhaps it was something I was ingesting, something I was putting on my body. Maybe it was the water I drank. Maybe it was, you know, all the processed food I ate as a child. Because, you know, my mom was in that generation
hamburger helper,
went to work.
That's
and you had to do that. I mean, moms went back to work. They needed every minute of their day that they possibly could. So it was all about convenience foods. And I just don't think there was a general awareness about, you know, how bad some of that stuff was for us. So really that sort of catapulted me into this journey of investigating, like, why did I get cancer? Mm-hmm. And then I started to kind of become more aware of like the foods that I was eating. And I really started with food, and reduced the amount of processed foods that I ate, started to switch to organic, tried to go non-GMO whenever I could, which is hard to do. And then
it's
there,
hard to like identify what is and what isn't all the time, you know?
Oh, exactly. And then kind of a friend of mine was like, hey girl, like you're doing all this great stuff. You're exercising, you got a personal trainer, you're, you know, like all these great things, but then you're like smearing this crap on your body every day that's filled with crap. And I was like, well, I bought it at the store. Like,
where else am I supposed to buy it?
Yeah. Like, I was like, what? It's safe, right? Like, it's on the store shelves. And she's like, oh girl. I was like, what? And then it was just like, from, you know, once you know something, you can't turn a blind eye to it.
Oh, for sure.
So that kind of began the process of me really taking a look at all of the things in our house and that I put on my body. And I really, I mean, a lot of people are like, wow, you're crunchy granola girl, you know?
That's okay.
But exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, they don't live in your body.
That's right.
No, right. Exactly. I mean, this is the choice that I make for me. I don't judge other people. They may be at a different place in their life. Hey, that's cool. But I want to give people the tools and the information, and what they choose to do with it, that's their business. So I've kind of made it my mission to share everything that I've learned, which has been awesome. And I kind of was hoarding the information to myself. Like, it's okay. I'm not going to push my lifestyle on other people. But in the last year, I made the jump to partner with Beauty Counter, their clean beauty business. And that really excited me, because now I could do something with this information. Right. Like, it's an opportunity. So I'm excited to really embrace their mission to educate people.
And you,
so it's giving me a platform.
And tell me what they sell. Like, what kind of products is that? Like, makeup?
Yep.
It, household? Like, what is it?
No, Beauty Counter is a clean beauty business. They sell personal care products. And so it's primarily like your makeup, your cosmetics, your shampoo, your body lotion. They have a men's line. They have a baby line. The founder, her name is Greg, which is kind of ironic. People always think she's a man, but her name is Greg. she kind of had this like look. She had a moment where she looked around at all the people in her life that were getting sick. And said, like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Why are so many people coming down with cancer and all of these other, you know, scary diseases? And then kind of had this aha moment, like, what is in this baby bubble bath that I'm using? And what is in these products? And once she started looking into it, she's just horrified. Yeah. She's like, the last thing we need is another beauty brand. Because let's be real. I mean, what is it, like a $91 billion?
Yeah, there's like a million.
Like, nobody needs another. We don't need another beauty brand. But she kind of really made a social mission-based company and said, let's have kind of three pillars to our business. Let's educate, let's advocate, and let's formulate. So first and foremost, Beauty Counter consultants go out and they just teach people, like, hey, let's just take a look at what's in your ingredients. Let's figure out some ways to help you shop smarter, shop safer.
Yeah.
And then they also advocate. So they're going to their legislatures. They have a text number you can text, 52886. You can text Better Beauty to that number, and it will ping you and give you information for your legislators. And you can tell them, hey, I want you to vote yes when this legislation hits your desk.
Right.
So it's an awesome thing. And then lastly, they formulate. I mean, I don't want to say like, and they have great products, but they do have great products, but primarily the company is really about trying to change the industry as a whole and trying to make us all more aware.
And it's interesting that the US is actually so far behind other countries and what they allow to go into our foods and our cosmetics and frankly just about anything that we consume in any capacity. And I think Europe is farther ahead than we are. They have banned many, many chemicals and things like that that we just allow.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the numbers that I saw last were that Canada's banned 600 ingredients from personal care products.
Yes.
The European Union has banned 1,400, and the United States has banned 30.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I read that.
Yeah. But that's also probably because, I mean, let's be realistic. These companies pay either, you know, a lot of taxes, or they have a lot of lobbyists that like are leveraging their power with the government and what is banned and what isn't banned. And if they can put it on our faces or on our bodies.
But here's what's interesting to me. And I've been following some of your messages, Jenna, on Facebook. So I kind of know where you, or I think I know what your, how you side with the whole COVID-19 thing. I'm very different. My plight is, I think, this is a perfect example. We're going to shut everything down. We're going to shelter in. We're going to change our lives. We're going to alter our lives for this this illness, this pandemic that we don't have a vaccination for. I mean, we could shut down all we want, but at some point we got to go back to school. We got to go back to work.
Yeah.
Yet we're going to allow all of these chemicals to infiltrate and kids can consume them and we do nothing. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm really confused why we can shut everything down for a pandemic that really, for the most part, has a very low mortality rate for the average human or the average, you know, person. Now, if you're older, that's not great. If you have a compromised immune system, very, very different statistics. But for the average person, it's very low. Yet we're going to allow all of these chemicals to be put into all of these products that are consumed by everyone every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so conflicting. It doesn't make any sense.
It is. I mean, I think part of the problem too is there's been a shift in the science, and I think we've been slow to really recognize the impact that these chemicals can have on our bodies. You know, things that we thought were safe before are no longer. So, I mean, we see that in the food and nutrition space.
Yeah.
Like, don't eat eggs. Now they're like, everybody says eat eggs. I mean, like, don't eat avocados. They're too high in fat. Nope, that's a good fat. I mean, I think there's just been a real lack of science.
Yeah.
And then I think there's just been a blatant ignoring of the science too.
That's kind of where I feel like it's, there's more there just because if you think about Canada and Europe and they have the same science.
They've done the homework. I mean, it's horrifying. The United States hasn't passed a major law governing the safety of ingredients in personal care products since 1938.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah, really. And with like everything that's going on right now, the only places that are open for like purchasing of care products is the grocery store, which tends to be like the lowest quality. So we don't really have options. I mean, obviously we can shop online and we can go on Amazon. Look at me.
Like I wouldn't. Every time I'd go on to buy something online, will be delivered in, you know, 10 days. I'm like, I'll just wait.
Way too impatient.
Yeah. It's very hard. I will say that there are some great tools that you can use. Like when I switched to like eating healthier, I was like, I'm not going to make my own pasta sauce. I'm not going to make my own tortillas. You know what I mean? There's just some things that like, hey, I mean, I do work part-time, so I probably have more time to cook than the average woman, but I don't want to spend 4 hours in the kitchen. Like I can't make everything from, I'm not making my own potato chips, you know, like let's be real. Right. So, it's great because there are people who have come up with some wonderful smartphone tools. So when I switched to like trying to eat healthier processed food, I went and used the Fujicate app, which is a great app because you can scan barcodes on your pasta sauce and be like, that's the one.
I think it's EWG. Is that right?
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. They have a great one too.
Yeah, that's
And so I use EWG's Healthy Living app because you can do the same thing when you're shopping at your grocery store for personal care products. You can scan the barcode. There's another one that's a good one. It has its issues, but it's better than nothing. And that's Think Dirty. So the two apps that I encourage people to put on their phone are Environmental Working Groups, Healthy Living app, and then also Think Dirty.
I love it.
And I can tell you a little bit how they work and what the differences are, but they're just really pretty simple tools to help you kind of go, no, okay, that's maybe not the best option, but it's better.
Yeah, go into that a little bit because I've never heard of any of these apps. And like I always use an app for like counting calories or counting my macros or whatever, but never for like personal care products. So yeah, go into that. Like what makes Fujicate better and what does it tell you?
Okay. Well, Fujicate is primarily for your food and it does the same thing as these other ones that are more for personal care.
Okay.
And I think the EWG one also has some food that they will look at as well. But I primarily use the EWG one now for personal care products. So I can speak to kind of those personal care apps a little bit better than I can food ones, but the Environmental Working Group is a nonpartisan group of people that have taken a look at the safety and all of the studies and the science. And what they've done is they've built an app that looks at particular products and their ingredients and then gives them a score. And the nice thing is it's like a stoplight type thing. So obviously red is bad. Yellow is like, maybe, you know, proceed with caution. And then green is like, you're good, girl. Put that in your cart. So I love the simplicity of it. And then it also breaks down all of the particular ingredients and can give you some information on those. So EWG is wonderful. They're a respected source and I love them because they're kind of the gold standard. Like they've gone out, they've had conversations with manufacturers. So when you start to get into some of this stuff, I don't want to go too deep, but the tough thing is like talc. I know you probably all heard about like Johnson's and Johnson's and
so on. Baby powder. Ovarian. We put that stuff on our babies.
Right. So the issue with talc is that talc in and of itself is not a bad product, but talc can be mined in the same mines where asbestos is grown. And then you have talc that's contaminated with asbestos. So talc is now kind of getting a bad rap. But really, if a manufacturer's gone through all the testing to make sure their talc doesn't have asbestos, it's fine.
Oh.
So.
Know that? Did you, April? Yeah.
Nope.
So, I just thought it was bad. Just all bad.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's really only that it can be contaminated with asbestos. That's the issue with talc.
Okay.
So the issue with EWG's Healthy Living is that they go and they talk to manufacturers. Are you doing this kind of testing? And so you're getting kind of a more vetted score. Whereas Think Dirty does the same thing, but they just flip a product over and say, oh, talc, nope,
okay,
that's not good. So they haven't kind of gone to the same level of scrutiny, but it's still a better, it's still
better
a tool
nothing.
For you. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So you kind of have to look at some things, some particular ingredients might be contaminated with known carcinogens, and that could be problematic. Think Dirty is probably not vetting them as detailed as in a detailed level as the environmental working group, but in the absence of it, not it's maybe that product isn't listed in EWG's Healthy Living. Yeah. So you want to have
find
something
that a lot where there's products that they just don't even have access to, or they just don't have listed.
Yep. So you want to have something so you can use both.
So I have a question and I kind of want to go a little bit backwards because I mean, don't get me wrong. Shapiro and I, we're all about like being very mindful about what we put on our bodies. Like she even goes to the extent of using like natural deodorant and stuff.
Yep.
I've tried them all, but I can't find the thing that works for me.
They don't. But it's because it's a lifestyle change because they don't stop sweating. They just stop odor. And that's hard for a lot of people to get used to.
Yes.
Which is
funny too.
Sweating.
Because I remember, so I think I was 21. I read this book called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About by Kevin Trudeau. And he lists like all of these different reasons and all the different supplements and natural cures about illness, diabetes, kidney stones, body odor. So I set off on a journey and I, you know, of course, the first place I go to is Whole Foods, of course, overly priced,
right?
Whole paycheck. Yeah, it's the first place I'm going to go.
Yeah, so most you possibly can for all.
Yes, for this much. Yeah. So, but I found out that there was somebody that was working there and he was selling soap nuts, which is essentially like a laundry detergent that is reusable nuts that create like a detergent for your clothes and you just throw the little bag in your washing machine and that washes your clothes or whatever. Well, he and I had a conversation and he said, once I stopped eating dairy, I stopped having body odor.
Oh.
So I was like, wow, like how revolutionary is that? So I tried it. I tested it. Absolutely true. But that doesn't mean that I don't use deodorant. I still use deodorant.
Yeah.
But I also like, you know, it's kind of like a lesser of two evils kind of thing, right? Like I do personally try to avoid dairy because it doesn't necessarily agree with me all the time. But I notice when I do consume it, like specifically like cheaper, more processed cheeses, like I went to a Mexican restaurant not too long ago and I had some queso and I noticed that the next day that it was like, I could tell I had queso.
but
I want to know as far as your story too, because at 36 you got diagnosed with breast cancer, but how did you get from having breast cancer, being diagnosed with breast cancer to where you are today? I want to hear about that journey because I know for me that it's taken like years and years and years. And like Shapiro said, this is very much like a lifestyle change and you adopt these new habits. I mean, she even goes so far as like, she puts honey in her coffee. She's like, I don't want anything processed. I don't want anything artificial. Right. Like, you know, she's like, I always eat honey in my coffee. She eats super clean, chicken and vegetables, avocados, whatever.
Yep.
And she just like, she's very conscious and it's very much a lifestyle change. You're not just going to wake up one day and immediately possess all the knowledge that you have now from the years of reading and researching and, you know, going down the rabbit holes on the internet about what is and what isn't good for you. Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, about that. For me, like, it's just been a series of small changes. Yeah. Like, even with my diet, I just started, like, I'm just not going to eat white bread. Then I just switched to whole grains. And then I was like, now I'm going to eat less bread. And I'm going to eat more vegetables. Now I'm going to eat, and first it was like, I'm going to just do the Dirty Dozen for the organic. Like, the Environmental Working Group comes out with that list every year called the Dirty Dozen.
I've got it up in front, by the way, so we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has, you know, the most common pesticides that are in, or the heavily, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, the heavily used that have the most common sprayed or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, those are the ones. I'm going to still keep shopping at Target, and I'm just going to, I'm going to buy the organic from that. Yeah. So, like, it was really just a slow progression for me. Yep. And even with, like, your personal care products, because I have people, once they learn all this stuff, they're like, I mean, it's like your refrigerator dies, and then you have to buy all new condiments, and you're like, good Lord, I just spent $400.
I had money invested in that condiment door. I mean, it was so much.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and when you think about how many personal care, I think every woman on average uses between like 12 and 20 personal care products a day. I mean, if you think about just taking all of those and just like into the trash,
yeah.
I mean, cha-ching, 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 you know, like that's a lot of money. So people kind of ask me like, where do I start? And I always say like, just start replacing as you run out.
Yes.
You know, and if you want, like, if you're kind of eager to get going and you maybe have a little bit more money, think about the products that you put on the most or the most widespread area, like your body lotion, like, woo, your skin is your largest organ. You're smearing that all over, all girl. Over. Woo. Like, you know, maybe start with something like that, like switching to a better lotion.
Yeah.
You know, sunscreen is another one. Like you're putting that all over your body. Like, whoa. And you're reapplying it every like.
I will say, if I don't say it now, I'll forget. With sunscreen, research, y'all, before you just go out and buy a sunscreen. Because textures and things like that, you kind of want to read other women's reviews and kind of what their experiences were. I went through 4 or 5 before and it's expensive. So it's not cool to get it in the mail and then you put it on. You're like, this sucks. I hate this. So read the reviews. It's hard to find a good sunscreen that's natural. It's really hard.
It is. And the Environmental Working Group again has its own recommendations. I think they have a sunscreen guide even that will give you some tips on certain sunscreens, but you're right. You still want to go out and read the reviews because some of it is really thick and chalky.
That's the issue that I found.
You know, like, you know, my kids, with kids too, it's like my kids want to go out and do the water balloons with their neighbor friends, but hey, give me 25 minutes for mom to keep rubbing, you know, I mean, like, wow. You really do want to do like your research on that kind of thing. But I think starting with the Environmental Working Group's recommendations is a smart way to go. And I love Beauty Counter's sunscreen. It's the only spray sunscreen that I will use. Otherwise, no spray.
What is it?
Yeah.
One. What's it called, Jana? Which one do you use?
Interesting.
Which one do you use?
Beauty Counter has a Counter Sun.
Oh.
The Counter Sun, Beauty Counter's Counter Sun sunscreen. This is a mineral sunscreen, not a physical. So that's something you need to be aware of. There's a difference there. But their sunscreen uses a bag on valve actuator. So it's powered by air, not chemical propellants.
Okay.
So that's why I trust
that's like my, my dry shampoo is powered by air versus butane.
Yeah. I definitely want to purchase some of that. So when we are done with this call, if you've got time, because I find sunscreen to be one of the most difficult things for me to find that I actually like, where it's not chalky or thick or whatever.
Yeah. And I like the Beauty Counter sunscreen comes with a tinted option too. So if you don't want it to spray on white, get a tinted option.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that. Me too. Yeah.
So I agree with that. I want to just kind of counter that because I did the same thing. I switched to all organic, all just anything that was going to be a endocrine disruptor. I wanted to kick it out of my house. But it's expensive. You cannot go through your house and just throw away everything you have and then go out and replace it all unless you've got, you know, a good couple $1,000s, literally for everything. If you're going to look at your makeup and your household cleaning products and toothpaste and everything that you use. You just really can't realistically do that all at one time. And I think I started with cosmetics and lotion, like you just mentioned. Of course, deodorant, I did that years ago. But those were the things that I started with. And then I transitioned food. Let me back up. I started with food, but it's been a decade. So I forget to mention that one. But then I went to my cosmetics and lotions. And then most recently, within the last year, is when I switched household products. And I want to talk about detergent, laundry detergent.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with that one. Yep. And I don't even have kids at home. So I'm struggling with just the two adults that live in the house. It just doesn't smell as good. It just doesn't, my laundry is not as clean. So I'm just curious what you're doing about that, because you've got boys. Yep.
Yes.
So I'm sure you probably have some good tricks.
Yes. And I work out, and my husband's a runner. So I got stinky clothes.
Yeah, sweaty clothes. That is the struggle for me. Oh my gosh. Even standard detergent, though. Sometimes I just can't get the gym smell out of my clothes. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, Brad is a runner as well, and he made me last weekend. He's like, go buy Tide. Even if it's just for my clothes, go buy Tide.
I'm over your organic crap.
He's like, I don't like the earthy smell. And I'm like, all right, okay.
I understand. I get it. I hear you. I would give you two recommendations as far as detergent brands that I love. One is Molly's Suds. I don't know if you're familiar with Molly's Suds.
I am.
It's ordered online. They got great stuff, and they have like an oxygen booster type thing that's like for sports. So people swear by that. Then the other one that I like is Zum, Z-U-M.
Oh, I've heard of that one. That's a great detergent too.
So those are the two that I trust that I really, really like that don't have skin irritants in it. I mean, you'll even find that Free and Clear, not the greatest all the time. So I think people have kind of thought, oh, well, that's the better option. Not always.
Yeah. Have you heard of Rocking Green?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
So they,
is that a good one?
You can write that down too, Shapiro, if you want to. Okay. I used to cloth diaper my daughter. So the detergent that you use on the cloth diapers has to be different than regular detergent. Rocking Green was one that I knew that they came out with a sport line or something for your athletic clothes. So that's a good one too that I've heard of.
But Rocking, R-O-C-K-I-N-G, Green? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, I'll look up that one too. And I'm going to put all of the, for people who are listening, I'm going to put all of these in a link so that you can click and do your own research and, figure out what you want to do. And it's really your products too, Jenna. We want to make sure that we get the message out there for those things as well.
Sure. I will say the difficult thing about detergent and just in general, for me, as I've made this transition to cleaner, is the lack of fragrance.
Yeah.
I know, because you just want stuff to smell good.
You can put a little bit of lavender in there. And I find that's okay. It's still not that lovely smell. Tide has that.
Oh, it's
strong. And you know what? I can't tolerate it anymore. Now that I've kicked all of that stuff out of my house.
Yep. It's so fake.
It's oh my gosh, hit you in the face. It's really, really strong.
Once you kind of have pared back and you don't have the candles and you don't have all of the perfume and you don't, then your olfactory senses are so heightened when you do smell that. I'm you just sprayed Febreze. I mean, I have kids come over to my house and I'm like, I know what detergent your mom uses. I can smell it on them. You just become so much more aware.
Yeah.
But people talk about, their detergent and their laundry and they're like, but my laundry doesn't smell. And I'm like, that's okay. If it doesn't smell bad, that's okay. If it has an absence of smell, it's still clean. You know what I mean? Clean is the absence of that funky bacteria and that odor and whatever. So if your deodorant or if your laundry doesn't have a smell, it's clean. That's okay. Yeah. But I think we're used to I got to use a fabric softener and I got to have all of this scent being piped into my clothes. That's not really a good thing because unfortunately fragrance is nasty.
Well, ours wasn't even the absence of fragrance. I would have been okay with that. And it was in the beginning, it was just clean. But then as time went on, you know, like a good 6 months into this process, it started to smell earthy. It wasn't even smelling clean.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's
yeah, we're going to have to like figure something out because that's not
I wouldn't love that either.
No. So I'm going to try these two. I love that. I do want to talk about, we brought up the Dirty Dozen and EWG just put out their list. So I want to go through this because I think a lot of people just don't really even know that that list is out there and what it means. And as you mentioned before, it's really just the 12 things that have the highest levels of pesticides or chemicals, harmful chemicals. Number one is strawberries. So if you're going to buy strawberries, basically what this is saying is buy organic. These are the things that you really should invest in, organic. Strawberries, spinach, kale, nectarines, apples, grapes, peaches, cherries, pears, tomatoes, celery, and potatoes. And then they said little added hot peppers on there. But I mean, those are very, tomatoes, potatoes, celeries, apples, those are very
staple
common
items.
Things that people purchase. So those are the things you really, really, and of course, you know, you're not writing this down if you're driving in your car. It's EWG's, it's just EWG.org. And if you just say Dirty Dozen, honestly, you don't even have to go there. You can just Dirty Dozen 2020 in Google.
And there's also the Clean 15.
Let me find that and then I can read
the
that.
Environmental Working Group is a great resource. I would say, like, for people that look at that list and feel kind of like it's daunting, eat more seasonally, because then you can afford, like, strawberries. Like, I won't eat strawberries that aren't organic unless I'm like at a picnic with a family member and I don't know. I'm not going to be like, hey, Aunt B, did you, you know, like, I'm not going to do that. Those are one time when I just, I'm like, I don't ask. I do eat at restaurants, whatever.
I am the same. I would never put a family member in an awkward situation and say, not organic, because I'm not eating it if it isn't.
That's so funny.
right. I'm not going to do that.
We're cooking for my mom tomorrow, and she's, during this Zoom call, she sends me a list from the grocery store. She's like, I need potatoes, green onions, organic. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I got it. Thanks. Preferably organic if they have them.
That's okay, too
that's
funny.
Cool.
But if you do shop like seasonally, then you're not spending $8 for organic strawberries. Like, if you want to buy strawberries in the winter that are organic, you're going to spend like $8.
So
if you just wait till it's strawberry season. Yeah, exactly.
Markets, you're going to get way better deals. I like to go to the farmer's market in the summer almost every Saturday. Okay, so I have the Clean 15. It's avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, onions, papaya, sweet peas, frozen, eggplant, asparagus, cauliflower. I love to see cauliflower on here because I eat a lot of cauliflower. Cantaloupe, broccoli, mushrooms, cabbage, honeydew melon, and kiwi. That's
cool.
The Clean 15.
That's cool.
And that means you're okay buying non-organic.
Conventional,
Okay, that's cool.
But they just don't have to use as much pesticides on those, so.
So I recently joined a wine club. It's called Dry Farm Wine, and they only send from European vineyards because they say the U.S. vineyards, even if they're organic, even if they're clean, there's still so many pesticides that are legal here in the States that there's the, like, it's still not as safe. So they will only ship from European vineyards. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And no sugar. They add 000 sugar to these wines. It's only the what?
Nice.
The grape. Yeah.
Are they good?
I'm loving it so far. Yeah. It took a little bit of getting used to because it doesn't taste like your $10 bottle of wine that you buy at the store.
Okay.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's good. Yeah. It's still good.
All
right. That's awesome.
Yeah. So tell us about your products, Jana. I want to hear a little bit about that. I'm always in search of new healthy products from a cosmetic perspective, lotions, even toothpaste. I struggle finding toothpaste that I like that's not
Possible.
So
I have to admit I'm still on the hunt for a good toothpaste. Tom's is about the best I've found, but it still has an ingredient or two in it that I'm kind of less in love with. So I'm still looking for a clean toothpaste as well. There are certain things that I'm still on. I'm still looking for the hairspray.
I have a good one.
You?
Yes, I do. I don't know. I have
two that are good, but not one that's like great.
Yeah.
I like the, well, it depends. If you're looking for, look at me. This is me most of the time. I don't do my hair very, very rarely. So if you're looking for something that's like got a good hold, that it's probably not going to be this. But I'm going to log in while you talk about that product into Amazon.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can
let tell me know what you found that you like. But anyway, Beauty Counter is a company that has a bunch of different personal care products. So it ranges from cosmetics to, you know, body care. They have a men's line, they have children's line, everything from sunscreen to moisturizer to serums that you might apply if you need extra hydration, if you're looking for age prevention, if you have dark spots, if you have acne, they have solutions for all of that, to take care of your skin. They have bath soap for kids. They have beard and shaving for men. So it kind of runs the gamut. And they've got a bunch of different skincare lines depending on what you're looking for and what your skin is like. And it kind of ranges in price. They have a two regimen skincare line that's kind of an entry level price point where both products are $50. And then they have sort of like the most luxurious anti-aging line that if you want to buy all of the products, it's like $300. So it's kind of a matter of like, you need to figure out what you're looking for in a skincare product,
right,
what you're comfortable with from a price point standpoint. But you can rest assured that they have a commitment that they will not use. They have identified a never list of 1,800 questionable or harmful ingredients.
Wow.
That they will not include in their products. Now,
but
I will
that
say,
current companies do include in their products.
Could, yeah,
yeah,
wow,
could. They all of their products, if they are scented, it comes from the actual ingredient. It's not a fragrance formulation. They are committed to 100% transparency. So I know a lot of people who just have allergies. Like, it's not for them about like clean beauty per se. It's like, I'm allergic to almonds and I can't use almond anything.
Yeah.
And so they're like, I appreciate Beauty Counter because you can Google Beauty Counter ingredient glossary and it will pull up every single ingredient that they do use in their products. And it will list the product that ingredient is in. So it's super easy for people who have sensitivities to find something that's a good solution for them. And I just love that, the transparency. That's what they're all about. Like, most companies will say they're transparent, but they, because of the Federal Fair Trade and Packaging Act, they can put fragrance as an ingredient, which that's kind of a misnomer because fragrance is a combination of multiple ingredients.
Yeah.
And based on this Fair Trade and Packaging Act, it's deemed trade secret. So they don't have to tell you what ingredients
exactly.
Are in
it could be
fragrance.
A combination of 100 different things and you'd never know.
Yep.
Because they
and
can label it as
fragrance.
And
a lot of those are the allergens. A lot of those are things that people have reactions to. You know, my mom sprays perfume and an hour later my dad has a migraine. Well,
yeah.
You know, it'd be great if my mom could figure out what that was that caused that. But if it's not listed, how's she going to know? She can't say like these three perfumes do it, but that one doesn't, because who would know? They don't disclose the ingredients. So it's left people really frustrated. And I love that Beauty Counter has this ultra transparency and all of the information is available to people. So that's just one of the things I think is awesome. I wish every company was doing that.
Yeah,
you should definitely like send your link so that we can like share that whenever we share this episode. So if anybody who's listening is interested and like, obviously I want you to get the credit. You know, if they are interested in a product or whatever, and I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah.
Because I know that I look into, you know, I go like back and forth as far as like beauty products and stuff. Cause I mean, 20 is like a small number for me. If you think about it, like the time, from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep or whatever. Cause if you think about it, I mean, take yourself through your day. If it's a day where I'm getting ready for work, I wake up, I do my makeup. That's probably like a combination of like 20 to 30 items just in my makeup bag.
She is like serious about makeup. Like,
as you can tell,
my makeup bag has like 7 items.
Hey.
Seven, maybe eight.
Yeah. And then like, but then you have to think about your hair. You know, if I do a blowout, that's shampoo, conditioner, that's, you know, some frizz serum, some blowout cream, dry shampoo, hairspray. Like there's 5 or 6 there. And then you got to brush your teeth and put on your deodorant, put on your perfume and whatever. So it's like, there's so many different things that we put on our body every day. And that's not even including the body wash I use in the shower, the lotion, the shave gel, all that stuff. So it's like, I have been looking it up too, and there's a company called White Oak Pastures or something like that, and they make like lard soap and soap out of straight tallow and lard, which is basically like animal fat. Yeah. And I'm like, literally, when people call me, it sounds disgusting, but it's also like that's how they used to make soap.
Yeah,
like that's how the original soap was made, was with lard and tallow. But yeah, I mean, people used to call me like the granola or hippie girl. I literally don't care. Like, you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Yep.
But yeah, there's nothing that I won't try. And I don't even have allergies. My daughter is a little bit like, her skin is a little sensitive to stuff. So like the sunscreen, I would probably get that sunscreen for her, because she actually came home from her dad's a couple days ago and she had sunscreen on her face, and like all of her cheeks were dry and like peeling, not from the sun, from the sunscreen.
Yeah. So like it can cause a chemical burn. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to be super mindful of that with her, not for me, but for her, you know? So
It's a difficult thing to navigate.
You know what I miss the most about switching to this new lifestyle? My Chanel, Mademoiselle.
But you should check
your perfume.
There are so many great clean perfume brands. I'm not kidding you.
There are, and I have purchased a few of them, and I
don't love them.
Well, I've worn Mademoiselle for 25 years.
Yeah.
And wow. So like I find that fragrance and that's what I stuck with. And now I haven't worn it for 2 years and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really miss that smell. My kids miss it. Yeah. They say the same thing. They're like, that was your mommy's smell.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Well, the thing that I love about some of these perfume companies, and I don't know what you've tried. I know that Henry Rose is the one that's Michelle Pfeiffer's perfume brand. They have a kit that you can get for $25 that has like 5 or 6 samplers in it, little tubes, tiny little ones. Because like, I mean, how are you going to like, you're not going to the perfume. Well, first of all, you're not going to the store to check out your perfume now anyway.
Right.
And then like ordering perfume online. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know what I'm getting. Like that's super personal. No, like,
yeah.
So, I love that they have like a $25 sampler set. So you can try the perfumes. And plus, like, sometimes you smell it. It smells great. You spread it on your body. You're like, whoa, that is not, you know,
that like, happens to me all the time. It's like some
react
reaction that is not jiving with my body.
Yep. So that's kind of a fun one. And I have a friend who's sending that to her mother and mother-in-law for their Mother's Day gifts, which I think that would just be a rad gift to give someone.
For sure.
And then Skylar is the other perfume brand that they have a monthly subscription. So you get a new perfume every month, which I also think would be like a super fun gift to give someone.
Super fun.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Or just to treat yourself.
Yeah. I love that.
Treat yourself.
The hairspray, it's called, and I'm almost a little reluctant to tell you because I have a feeling you're going to do the research and you're going to be like, Kim, this is not a gift. I think it is.
Hey, it's all right.
But my little, you know, 2 sprays that I use, I don't know, a week, it's called Intelligent Nutrients.
So okay, I've heard of that.
And with the circle around it, and it's brown, a black lid. So I don't know. I don't know if it's safe. It says it's safe.
You're good. I believe that Intelligent Nutrients is the former formulator or owner of Aveda.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so nice. I think Aveda started to make some decisions he maybe wasn't comfortable with, and he branched off, and I think this is the company that he started. So,
okay, cool.
Nice. Pretty sure that's good stuff.
And I like it. It doesn't have like a really firm hold, but my hair doesn't require that. So
yeah.
Although,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're kind of, you know, nobody wants the helmet anymore. That's like,
no. Oh, no.
Some people they should not.
Yeah, right.
What time? Okay, so we're at 10:47, so we've got another 15 minutes or so. Are you good with that? Your time good on time? Cool.
Yeah, Here's
I would love for you to share, because you've done so much research. We talked a lot about what to do, and outside of you and your cancer diagnosis, we haven't really discussed a lot of the why, outside of like the chemicals and they're bad for you. But what does that mean, they're bad for you? What are some of the things that all of these endocrine system disruptors, and if you can explain what that is to people, what are the long-term effects? And for people who don't make these changes, what are the risks?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough to say because like, it's not everybody's body is the same. So there's a lot of different variables. So I can't just say like, if you use this lotion, you're going to get cancer. You know, I think that I wish it was that easy, but it's just not.
Yeah.
But we do know that there's a whole group of chemicals that are known as endocrine disrupting chemicals, and your endocrine system is your hormone system in your body. What happens with those endocrine disrupting chemicals is they mimic hormones in the body. So why I find that particularly scary is things like parabens. So methyl, ethyl, butyl, paraben, you'll see that listed in your ingredient list. Like it's that have number of a bunch of different things at the beginning of that word, but the end of the word is always paraben. Parabens have been found to mimic estrogen in the body. So there's a woman, Janet Noodleman. She used to be with the Breast Cancer Fund, and now it's known as Breast Cancer Prevention Partners. She has been studying phthalates. They're another endocrine disrupting system or endocrine disrupting chemical. And what she has been looking at is phthalates in the body that, again, might mimic estrogen. She says that there is a direct link between a woman's exposure over their lifetime to artificial and natural estrogens. The amount of exposure a woman has in their lifetime to estrogen, either natural or artificial, is a direct link to their breast cancer risk. So if we think about using chemicals that mimic our body's own hormones, we're changing those hormone levels in our body that could lead to potential health effects down the road. And we know that phthalates also have a negative impact on boys. Like there can be some birth defects as far as their reproductive organs with phthalates. So that's the problem with endocrine disrupting chemicals. Like they have some pretty nasty effects as far as health goes for people, but really they're just messing up. The hormone system is a communication system in the body, and they're messing with our communication system by providing us more than our body is used to in some instances, or impacting how those hormones work. So that's kind of the alarming thing with it.
Yeah. I recently had somebody, I actually think it might've been my husband, who was making fun of sort of this like shift in lifestyle of mine and saying, you know, we've been doing this for, you know, decades and it's fine. You know, I don't understand like what the issue is. And I'm like, And I'm like, there has been a rise in cancer. You know, whether those were impacted, you know, terminally or, you know, hopefully not. I mean, you're probably one of 10 people I know personally that have had breast cancer and have come out and been okay. But that's not always the case. I know. No. Yay.
Well, not just breast cancer, ovarian cancer, lymphoma, because that gets in your lymph nodes, which is also directly correlated with your hormones. Like it's not just...
Well, and I did when I had my hysterectomy, it was caused because I had to have it because of endometriosis, a severe, severe case of endometriosis, and started researching on, well, what the heck causes that? Yeah. And a lot of it is this, your hormone system just kind of gets out of whack. Well, and then we find out what's causing that. So I'm like, it's not that everybody's okay. I mean, cancer's on their eyes.
Yeah.
You do the math.
Yep. It's difficult because I think, you know, cancer is just the growth and division of abnormal cells in the body. Right. So, you know, people are like, well, what really causes that? Well, I think there are things that we can do to minimize our risk. And I think that everybody's just sort of is like, yeah, well, cancer is just this crappy lottery. Well, is it though? Right. Like, I mean, I think that if you can use safer products that perform, that work just as good as conventional products and reduce your risk, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. What? Right. Yeah. There's nothing.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like saying, you know, type 2 diabetes is a lottery, right? Well, yeah, maybe, like maybe you're genetically predisposed because some people in your family have it. But also, if you eat donuts every day, you're probably more likely to get type 2 diabetes. Just saying.
Right.
Well, no, it's my biology. It's genetics. No, it's sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think if we can make choices to reduce our risk of these things, why wouldn't we do it? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we? And I know that you had talked specifically about endocrine disrupting chemicals. Have you read this book, Sick or Fat or Poor?
No.
This is a really good one.
Shapiro's going to read it.
This is a really good one by Leonardo Trasand. This is an excellent book that it goes into.
And I'm on Amazon already. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and buy it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's horrifying, but it's a great one. I mean, I've got a number of different books I can recommend, but that one I think is probably the one that you can read without having to feel like you need, and I don't have a science background, but yeah. You know, it's, I think, a little bit easier for you to read and digest and understand the impact of these chemicals. And it goes into even talking about how it's reducing our IQ and then what that does to like our economy and our global economy and where that puts us as Americans. So, okay, I mean, there's a whole lot of factors.
And it really does affect like everything in your decision-making process. Like, and I've listened to a podcast, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell, where he talked about like when you have like significant health issues or you are like struggling financially, the decisions that you make are not as effective as if you were in a different position, whether that be health-wise or financially-wise, like you just don't make the same smart choices that you would if you were in a different position. Health goes into that. Finances go into that. I mean, there's so many different factors.
Yep, for sure. Definitely.
Book is purchased. one thing you don't know about me is I read a lot.
That's great.
A lot. It's almost like a little addiction of mine. Like I need an intervention at times.
That's her
OCD. I don't know. I think that's a good addiction to have.
I mean, well, let me back up. I buy a lot of books and I do read a good 75% of them, but that's 25% of books that are, you know, I could build a home with the books that I have.
Well, I think a lot of people have that same addiction though. I don't think you're alone. You could definitely be able to like find a support group of people that
you could start a club
in the same boat.
Why haven't I started a book club?
I don't know.
I talk about it, especially
because you have this podcast. Come on.
You already have a platform.
I've got a podcast. We were going to do book reviews and then we never did. So what happened with that?
I don't know.
Well, we did one, but we just have to be more.
Which, by the way, is our number one most
downloaded episode.
Really?
Yes.
What's the book?
Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Oh, that sounds good.
He's pretty incredible.
It's so intense and so good.
It is. I'll tell you what resonated with me in this book. You know how we as women will stand in the mirror. I've said the same story on this podcast probably 20 times, but
that's okay.
Get in the mirror and you look at yourself and you just kind of poke and you're like, ah, man, that really sucks. And then almost immediately you switch to, but I'm 40. I mean, so bad, you know, and then you kind of talk yourself out of it. Yeah. He's like, no, if you look in the mirror and you see fat, then you're effing fat. Do something about it. It's, it's that message.
Oh my gosh.
That we always tell ourselves not to buy into.
Right.
And it worked for me. Cause I'm like, stop telling yourself, you know, that you're fine because you're over 40. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get in shape. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be healthy. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to the gym.
And you're 40, not 80, you know?
Yeah. And then, well, for me, it was just, you know, I've never been fit in my whole life, but I've never been fat. So I always kind of justified it with like, I'm okay. I mean, that has nothing to do with health. Just because you look okay and you're not fat does not mean you're healthy.
Right.
So it just kind of resonated with me. It sunk in and it was the book that got me in the gym.
Who went through BUDS training for the Navy SEALs 3 times.
Yeah.
He also went to Army Ranger School and he also lost 100 pounds in 3 months.
To get into
Navy, military. To BUDS training. Yeah. Wow. It was it's an amazing book.
It's a great story. Language is bad. So
bad.
Really, really bad. So that's a little hard to get through if you're not a cusser.
That's okay.
Message is awesome.
Yeah.
That's not a problem for me.
We're okay.
April's like, not a problem. I see you.
Yeah, not a problem. Do you have the Thug Kitchen cookbooks?
Love those cookbooks.
That's what made me think of that.
They're called Thug Kitchen.
Yeah. No, I've never even heard of them.
They're like gangster recipe
books.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's always interesting when I cook something with my like teenage son and he's like, is this from that cookbook? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sure is.
Just look at the ingredients, son. Don't read the
title.
We've got
that he doesn't know all those words, but he's, you know, not used to seeing them in a cookbook.
So funny. Well, we've got 2 minutes before we sign off. And before we do, I want to talk real quick, if y'all are comfortable about it. This poor guy that was shot in February, we're all just now hearing about it. And the guys were just arrested, still haven't even been indicted. I mean, what the heck?
I know.
What the heck? It's like, what? We had a friend on the podcast. She's an African-American woman, and she was sharing what it was like. She's a professional financial analyst. I mean, you just living the life that, you know, like a, just a normal American, and she sees it all the time. Like she experiences, what was that story she told us, April, where she was going through the fast food restaurant?
Literally at Boston Market, going through the drive-through, and somebody like walked up to her and was like cussing her out, racial epithets, everything. And that was the first time that she had experienced something like that with her daughter. Cause of course, like she had experienced that before, but then she had, she realized, she was like, it really put it in perspective. Because I had my daughter in the back seat, and I think her daughter at the time was like 5 or 7 or
five or six,
very young.
Yeah, really young. And her daughter was kind of immune to it all because she hadn't really experienced anything yet. And so now this is, you know, she had to have that conversation with her child that this is a reality, and it's I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. I was just curious.
I don't know how to feel about it either, man. Honestly, it's just like I feel like this is it seems so prehistoric, like that we're still dealing with this. You know what I mean? Like why?
How is this still a thing?
How?
And like, how are we still doing this?
Yeah. And who did these people think they were to just go out and be vigilantes and take care, you know, take the law into their own hands against someone else, even if he did do something wrong? Like, mind your own business. Like, if he did something wrong, the police will find him. The police will
crazy,
you know, take care of it or whatever. But like, call the cops.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we pay the cops.
Did you read Michelle Obama's Becoming, Jana?
No, I didn't. I haven't read that yet.
So good.
So good. So, so good. Watch the Netflix special as well. If we can have more women like her getting out there in front of these young African-American women, and just because she the way she speaks to them, it's very real. Because some of them were saying, like, how do we not be invisible? How do we grow up and be like you? And she's like, well, it starts with you. You can't feel invisible. And it's just the messages that she's giving them. I'm like, my gosh, if we could just fill the world with beautiful people like her, we would change everything.
Yeah. I was watching yesterday, and I think I know, obviously it was a rerun, but I was watching the Kelly Clarkson show, and she had the gentleman on who had done the project, like 15 lab coats or whatever. I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't know.
But he's a med student who took like 15 African American med students to a plantation and posed them in front of a slave cabin, and they're all doing and I just, I mean, it was like instant goosebumps.
Oh, for sure.
It's so powerful. Right.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you can't be what you don't see. And I just thought, like, yes. I mean,
so great.
I love people who are like stepping into these roles and like, I'm here. See me. You can do this too. It's so empowering to people. So
it really is. I love that. I think it's just going to take a lot more of that. And I used to think that, you know, once this older generation is gone, I think things will start to normalize and just be a lot more equal. But then this guy, he had his son, and who was what, his 20s or 30s. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe not. Yeah.
So well, and I mean, it starts at home. It really does. I mean, there's still people that still feel the exact same way as their grandparents did. And that's where they get it from, is from their grandparents. I mean, I personally know someone who's still that type of person. I don't know that they're that hardcore, you know, that they would like follow someone and commit a crime like that. But the thought process, we just have to change the way that we think about people. Like, it just blows my mind. Like, I even have to tell Chloe, because she's like, well, Mom, why am I not supposed to signify? Of course, my 5-year-old didn't say signify, but why am I not supposed to say that people have brown skin? And I'm like, acknowledge the fact that they have brown skin and that their skin is different than yours, but that doesn't change the type of person that they are because their skin is brown. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, because it's like, it's almost like innocence, right? She immediately has to address the fact, well, Mom, you know, because her best friend is black. She's like, well, mom, but London is brown. She has brown skin. And I'm like, okay. Like, what? Does that change, like, the type of person that London is, or the, like, the things that she does?
She clearly doesn't think it does. I mean, it's
of course not. But yeah. It's like, you know, and I asked her, I was like, do you think that London has to say that Chloe is white? And she was like, that's true. I don't think she says that. And I'm like, exactly. So it's not that you don't see the color. It's just that the significance is very small. Like, you know, yeah. We don't have to bring it to attention. And my best friend, one of my best friends is African-American too, black, whatever you want to call her. And people have told her whole life, you're so beautiful for a black girl. You're so smart for a black girl. You're so this for a black girl. And it's like, why can't I just be beautiful, smart, and whatever? Like, you know, why do I have to fit into some category? She's yeah. like, do people ever come up to you and tell you that you're beautiful for a white girl? And I'm like, that's true.
Yeah, we got a long way to go, but there's a lot of advocates out there. We'll get there at some point, hopefully. All right, Miss Jan, I want you to plug your business. How do people find you?
Sure. If people are interested in Beauty Counter products, they can reach out to me, connect with me on Facebook, Jana Madsen on Facebook, or they can message me and I can get them on my newsletter list. Or, of course, if they want to shop, they can go to beautycounter.com/Jana Madsen, JanaMadsen.
Cool. And how do they get signed up for the newsletter?
They can just reach out to me. I think, like, you can provide my contact information too if you want to people.
Okay.
Give them my email address.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yep. Well, it was a lot of fun. Incredibly
emotional. It was.
I'm so happy you were able to do this. It's great.
Yeah, me too.
And connect, you know, 30 years and all of that. So, and don't forget about us, Big Girl Pants Podcast. You can find us on all of the platforms. What is it? Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, right? April, all those things.
Okay. You're doing good. You're doing good.
BigGirlPantsPod.com. BigGirlPantsPod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, whatever. And then don't forget to like and subscribe
the podcast. And leave us a review.
Please leave us a review. We'd really, really love that. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you so much, Jana. April, love you, girl. I will talk to you later.